This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about the resistance we're seeing. What's going on? Did we pay for a terrorist college? We have Carol Roth joining us, Benjamin Weingarten, Julio Rosas. What a show tonight on I'm Right. Before we get into the system and the resistance and all that stuff, for two nights in a row, we sadly have to honor the fallen. We always honor the fallen who died during training because they are forgotten. And now we lost another one. The Coast Guard Seaman Brian K. Lee was doing counter-drug patrols. Went over the end, went over the side. They've been looking for him for 190 hours. Finally called off the search. We lost him to the deep. So rest in peace, warrior. Prayers for the family. All right? All right. Now, before I get into the specifics about what's happening, what happened at FEMA, what apparently happened at the FBI and everything else, I just want to recap this so we can discuss where we are and why we are where we are. As we talked about before, the communist, no matter where you find him, whether it's the Soviet Union in 1930 to the United States of America in the year of our Lord 2025, the communist believes in force. He believes in forcing his views, forcing his worldview on others. He has never been concerned with popularity at all. He'll take it if he can have it, if you give it to him, but it has never been his concern. If you don't agree with what he wants, just force it. He'll lie and do whatever he can to force it. That's what he believes. You must be forced to conform. Now, that brings us to the United States of America. Communists tried for the longest time to get through in this country, to break through, to really gain hold of something. But something kept happening to them, you see. They kept running up against that wall that protects or destroys your country, wherever you happen to be. That would be your institutions. And you can consider your institutions things like government institutions, religious institutions, corporate institutions, education institutions. The institutions of a nation are the pillars that hold it up. Well, back in the 60s, when the radicals like the Weather Underground were chucking nail bombs around and things like that, they weren't getting the communist revolution moving. They couldn't get it moving in this country. It was frustrating them to no end. Why? Because they were slamming into the institutions. So what to do, what to do? Well, they went back to the drawing board, and there are a lot of communists like Antonio Gramsci and others who came up with this. They said, hey, if we're running into the institutions, if the institutions of these countries are stopping the revolution, why don't we just take them over? It'll be a long, hard, slow slog, but why don't we march through the institutions? And it was actually Antonio Gramsci who came up with that saying, the long march through the institutions. If you're the Weather Underground and you're trying to foment a communist revolution in the United States of America and the FBI keeps stopping you because you're a dirtball terrorist, well, the solution is not more nail bombs. The solution is simply take over the FBI. It'll take time, it'll take effort, but you'll get there if you're focused and the other side is lazy and naive. Well, the other side, us, for decades have been lazy and naive, and they have been marching. Year after year after year after year, they have been marching through the institutions. And we, you and I, we finally got to see the evidence of what that looks like during the George Floyd protests. This is a great example. All of a sudden, we found out, wait a minute, even the government doctors want people to riot? Remember, they wouldn't even tell people to stay. Oh, social distancing doesn't count if you're protesting. And we're all looking around like, wait, what? During COVID, COVID's actually probably the best example. If you're like me and you saw the truth very early on, You sat and watched every single institution in the country speak with one voice, and it was all a lie. And you're thinking to yourself, how does that happen? Well, we were asleep at the wheel, myself included, for years, and they were marching forward, forward, forward. Now, as it pertains to the government, that was obviously, it's one of, if not the most crucial institutions in the country. And they've been marching. Decades they've been marching. Roughly 3 million federal employees. And who, in large part, seeks out those positions? Communist subversives who intend to go in there and push the revolution forward. Whether it's a Republican president, a Democrat president, they go to work every single day with focus, with a mission. They're fighting a revolution. You, me, we're going to work blissfully unaware that our own government is working against us. And as I already pointed out, during COVID, during George Floyd's protests, things like that, we saw just how much of a system they had built. And that brings us to this, to where we are today. Donald Trump gets elected. Donald Trump gets elected because the American people woke up one day and were mortified by what was happening to their country. A wide open border, they can't afford eggs anymore. Government malfeasance, to put it mildly. The American people watch them shoot Donald Trump, arrest him, mortified. The American people were mortified. You look at those election results, that's a complete rejection of all this. Well, that sounds good. It's good, right? I think it's good. You think it's good. Everything's good. But they're all still there, you see. Remember that final form they reached where they had complete control of everything? Well, just because Donald Trump won an election, that don't change a thing. They're all still there. And so what we're seeing now is a more advanced form, much more advanced form of what we've seen before. And that is, as soon as Republicans win an election, Democrats go back to being revolutionaries. Throw sand in the gears, resist, always have to resist everywhere you go. And now we have a fight on our hands, you see. Here's a great example. We found this out today. FEMA just had to let go of some people, fired some people. Why? Donald Trump administration walks in, starts talking about things like even disbanding FEMA. Very clearly, we're done with supporting illegals and things like that. Issues a bunch of executive orders. But remember what the communists was doing while you and I were asleep? It was marching. FEMA's chief financial officer said, oh, is that what Trump wants? That's not my problem. Here's a $59 million check of the taxpayers to pay for luxury hotels for illegals, and they did this last week. Last week. Trump was, what, 2 weeks into his presidency? The communists at FEMA didn't miss a beat because she was fighting a revolution, well, she being the chief financial officer. And it doesn't at all stop with FEMA, you see. We now are, remember that ICE raid? We started to get word, I think this was last week, but that people were saying the ICE... they were trying to do a bust, and it was almost like someone had tipped people off. They showed up to get Trende Aragua, and Trende Aragua was gone. But Tom Holman went to the news and dropped a bomb today on how that happened.
Bizarre. Tom Holman. Tom, where are these leaks coming from?
Well, look, we think it's coming from inside, and we know the first leak of Aurora is under current investigation. We think we identified that person under investigation right now. The California leak, Secretary Noem, you know, she's correct. Some of the information we're receiving tends to lead toward the FBI. But I talked to Deputy Attorney General all this weekend. They've opened up a criminal investigation. And they have promised that not only this person lose their job and lose their pension, they're going to go to jail. They're going to criminally prosecute. So
now, I'm thrilled to hear that jail thing. We'll get to Pam Bondi in just a moment. But just pause for a second and think about where we are as a country. You have Donald Trump, his much better administration in there, kicking butt, taking names, moving forward, rounding up the illegal alien rapists and murderers Joe Biden brought into the country on purpose, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation tipped someone off to ensure the rapists and murderers could escape arrest? 3 million people in the federal government, give or take. How many communist revolutionaries do we have to fight? And along the lines of fighting them, you wake up every day now, you look at your phone and you see news story after news story about this activist judge stopping this, this activist judge stopping that. Remember all those stories about all the judges Joe Biden was putting on the courts? Well, he wasn't doing that to protect the rule of law. They were doing that to cement, to shield the communist system they had already put into place into this country. So now we have judges essentially running the United States of America, or if they're not running it, they're in the very least stopping any good Donald Trump might try to do with this country. And that brings me to Pam Bondi. And what I'm about to say is not an insult to Pam Bondi, because I don't know yet. She's been there for 5 minutes. I don't know yet. I'm happy Tom Homan's talking about people going to jail. But Pam Bondi is going to have to turn herself into a villain very, very, very quickly. Pam Bondi is going to have to start marching government employees into federal prison. That's what it will take. Not resignations. We see that all the time. He's resigned. Not reassignments, not even firings, not the revocation, I don't know how to say that word, of security clearances. No. That's child stuff. The communist revolutionaries inside of the federal government must see their fellow communist revolutionaries marched into federal prison for years and years and years, because the communist only understands fear and pain. So Pam Bondi's on the news talking like this.
If anyone leaks anything, people don't understand. That jeopardizes the lives of our great men and women in law enforcement. And if you leaked it, we will find out who you are and we will come after you. And it's not going to stop our mission. It's not going to stop the president's mission to make America safe again. We were very clear with the lawsuit that we filed in Chicago that if you don't follow the law, you will be prosecuted by the department.
Okay, that's great. That sounds great. Again, I'm not insulting her. That better happen. And it's not one person. We don't need to see one person going to federal prison. No more tiptoeing around this whole thing. We are most definitely fighting a war, a political war by the grace of God. We are fighting a war against communists who are not going to just hand back power because they got their butts kicked during an election cycle. Pam Bondi better turn herself into a fang-wielding pit bull who sends communists to federal prison by the dozen. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Remember, we all have a role to play when it comes to fighting that communist system that's been cemented into place in this country. You and I do too. Where do you spend your money? Because the truth is, it's not just our taxes that have been funding communist activity in this country. I brought up the George Floyd protests. Who do you have your cell phone with? Who's your cell phone company? AT&T, T-Mobile? Go look them up in the name George Floyd. See what they were doing with your money when the communist revolution was ramping up in this country. Switch. You can switch your cell phone. It takes 10 minutes on the phone. It's okay. You can do it online. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. They make it easy. You'll pay less. You don't sacrifice coverage because they're on the same network and they love this country. They weren't doing anything but still rooting for America back during all this time. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. Well, the animals are in the streets rioting over cutting government funding, which is absolutely hilarious to me in so many ways. Joining me now to talk about all this FEMA nonsense and other things, my friend, United States Marine and national correspondent for The Blaze, Julio Rosas. Okay, Julio, can you walk those? Lots of people woke up this morning and they were stunned to find out we were paying for any hotels for illegals. Obviously, this is something you've been all over for a very long time. But can you please explain why we're sending $59 million to New York City to put Lupe up in the Roosevelt?
It's because it really, at the end of the day, it was just so the Biden-Harris administration at the time, along with the sanctuary city officials, it was to avoid the optics of having homeless migrants on the street. That's basically all it was, because obviously, while some people who did cross over illegally had a support system, whether it was family or friends, a lot of people didn't, because, yes, surprise, a lot of people are going to want to come and take advantage of the open border policy. But more than that, actually, I just saw this today at Border Report. Not only have we been paying for the hotels here in the United States, but USAID was also paying the migrant shelters in Mexico. And on top of that, the Mexicans were smart enough to do that because the Mexican government did not support any of these shelters along the border. So we were literally supporting them virtually the entire way through our tax dollars. And so that's why when you see people protesting, you know, cutting this waste, fraud and abuse, they truly have, even they themselves who are in the system, truly don't really understand just how much money is being wasted. Or the worst part is they do, and they wanted to continue, wanted that money, you know, gravy train to continue anyway.
Julio, it's honestly, it's a little bit, I'm the worst cynic in the world, and I've always been talking about this level of corruption, but even me, you wake up every day and you find out new details of just how deep the rot goes within our government and how many parts of our government were focused on wrecking this country. It's a lot to take in, is it not?
Yeah, and it would be one thing if our country was in better shape than it currently is, because obviously when you look at what happened in Western North Carolina, California, Maui, and how horrible the victims and the survivors were treated by the federal government, and all of a sudden they're like, actually, no, we can't spend that much money, and you know, you got to jump through all these loopholes. And yet when it comes to people invading our country or people who are just on the other side of the world, and how they are getting preferential treatment, of course, I mean, it gets my, I mean, just as a taxpayer, right, it's like, why are we paying taxes here? You know, like, why are U.S. citizens always constantly just like a blood bag? We're just constantly just being sucked dry here. And so I think it's going to be, you know, a little bit, it's going to take a little bit for all that to kind of permeate through people who are obviously not as hyper aware of the news. But I'm going to guess in 2 to 3 years from now, people are going to really kind of see the benefits from all of, you know, within the country, the benefit of all this, one, being brought to light, but then number two, most importantly, being stopped.
Tell me about the Border Patrol guys right now. I know you have many, many friends in that organization. They've got to be doing freaking backflips.
It is really big. Yeah, I mean, obviously, this is something that they've been waiting for a very long time. And even just the other day, one of them texted me being just ecstatic over how the Pride webpage for Customs and Border Protection had been taken down, because that has nothing to do with the mission at hand, right? That has nothing to do with, you know, all the effort to in theory, securing the border, which obviously wasn't happening the past 4 years. So, I mean, just the fact that even if you look at what Texas, right? I mean, Texas was really the epicenter for many years because it shares, you know, the largest part of the border with Mexico. I mean, the border crossings are down. I mean, 500 crossings a day, 300 illegal crossings a day. I mean, that is astounding. I mean, we would see 500 people at a single time during the day. And so to see that just being all along the border, this really just shows how, one, this was being allowed to happen. You know, this was being encouraged to happen by the U.S. government, by the Biden-Harris administration. And two, it just shows how idiotic the quote-unquote bipartisan border bill that was being proposed in the Senate last year, just how much of a farce that was, because they're saying, oh, actually, we need to allow up to 5,000 illegal crossings a day before an emergency declaration. It's like, no, that was totally unnecessary. That was totally, it was just a shell game. It was just playing politics as D.C. likes to do. So, I'm finally glad that aspect is over, but as you know, now we're shifting to the interior enforcement and the removals. I mean, that's kind of the next big battle, and that's why Tom Homan is literally today was begging Congress for more money, because, like, sure, he said the numbers are good in terms of arrests, you know, they're trending in a good direction, but it's not good enough, especially with, you know, they only have four guaranteed years to kind of undo the damage of the previous 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years, 6,000 ICE agents, about 50 million illegals to get out of the country. The math doesn't exactly pencil out there. Julio, my brother, thank you. Come back, join us soon. Semper Fi.
Of course. Thanks.
All right. Benjamin Weingarten's all over this government corruption. Let's talk about the Pentagon. That audit is still to come. We'll dig into this USAID stuff some more before we get to Benjamin. Let's talk about expenses. You ever have to do expenses with your company? How much time would you say your company spends on expenses? We have to categorize this. I need the receipts for that. You got to run this down, run that down. I go through to my house. The wife does the expenses. Always figuring out, what'd you buy here? Where were you? But you know, there's a card. There's a corporate card who takes all that away. How much time would you save? How much money would you save if you could just use a card called RAMP and it does it all for you? That card exists. Go get the RAMP card. It'll make your life so much freaking easier. Categorize it, gets everything laid out for you. It's like having your own finance team, only it's your own card. So go pick one up. And now for a limited time, listeners of this show can get $250 when you join RAMP. Just go to ramp.com/Jesse. That's ramp.com/Jesse. Cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. We'll be back. Well, you may be a little bit bummed out when you check your bank account. You're trying to figure out how you're going to pay for college for little Aiden, Jaden, and Braden, who you're raising. But I have great news for you. You have already paid for the college of others. Now, granted, they appear to be scumbag terrorists, but hey, you paid for somebody's college. Joining me now, Benjamin Weingarten, editor-at-large of Real Clear Investigations. Okay, hey, Ben, have we been paying for terrorists to go to college in this country?
Paying for terrorists to go to college, paying for terrorists to be able to build their heroin businesses, to fund their jihadist efforts to take out Americans and our allies. And, you know, as you were doing that intro, I was thinking, the way to pay for your kids' college is to set up a democracy-focused NGO and then use the funds to underwrite their education. That's the way to do it.
God, it's just, I feel so filthy even discussing how horrible this system is. Okay, Ben, so for all the people who are a little confused on what we're talking about, break down some details. What did we discover today with the next, with the newest USAID discoveries?
Where to begin? There's so many different layers to the scandal of the $50 billion a year so-called independent, and I guess acting as an independent agency of the federal government. And I think the easiest way to think about it is, first you have the radical gender ideology and sexual perversion side of things, which is quote-unquote LGBTQIA plus advocacy in countries all over the world. Funding of course, chemical castration and hormone therapy, including for minors, I believe, in foreign countries. Guides on how to keep yourself safe, primarily in the Middle East, to the extent you're an LGBTQ advocate, so probably generating some resentment from foreign regimes. Then you get to the things like, to your point, hundreds of millions of dollars or more that have ultimately redounded to the benefit of the Taliban in Afghanistan, jihadi groups in Syria and beyond. Of course, the funding to the EcoHealth Alliance, which ultimately ended up in the Wuhan lab and contributed to the pandemic that destroyed our liberty, our finances, and beyond. And then beyond those disastrous efforts, I think, is the fact that the sort of colorful revolution type work and the funding of jihadists really diverts our gaze from the regime change kind of behavior that USAID has been behind for years. And, you know, during the Cold War, when USAID was created, there was a soft power rationale. It was, you have to promote democracy in parts of the world that the communists controlled to undermine them, contain them, and ultimately triumph over them. But the problem is essentially that today's Marxists took over USAID and all of these other institutions in the federal government and have used that to export their revolution abroad and really ultimately undermine us with our tax dollars. And the last point I'll make briefly is, this has basically been an administrative state that we have been funding via these NGOs, some foreign and some domestic, that serves as an extension of the government administrative state, totally unelected, unaccountable, paid for with our tax dollars to spread left-wing radicalism around the world, and of course, line the pockets of the allies of our government here at home.
Good God, it's so gross. Ben, what about media organizations? At least tell me I haven't been going to work every single day and the government's sticking its filthy fingers in my wallet and handing it to media organizations who hate me. That hasn't been happening, right, Ben?
Got some bad news. Unfortunately for you, you've been funding primo subscriptions to Politico Pro and subscriptions to the New York Times and the AP and Bloomberg services and Reuters services and beyond. And amazingly, the gaslighting from these news outlets, who, as you noted, hate your guts, is that, well, look, government agencies, government agents need to be able to read the vital information, much of which the government agencies themselves leak to these outlets, that they produce in their premium and paywalled content and beyond. And my view is, as perverse as it is that our tax dollars are paying for subscriptions for government agents to read obviously biased publications, of course, you know, they're not funding any conservative outlets via these subscriptions. Even more perverse is that while on the one hand they pay them off to some degree in millions of dollars in the case of Politico, for example, on the other hand, the government has also labored with hundreds of millions of dollars to create the censorship industrial complex that suppresses and seeks to destroy the business models of news and views from conservative and independent sources. That's a subsidy that's worth many, many times the amount that we pay through our tax dollars effectively for subscriptions to these regime media outlets that effectively do the regime's bidding by printing the narratives they want, serving as conduits for leaks from our intel agencies, for example, like the Russiagate hoax or the 51 intelligence officials saying that Hunter Biden laptop story has all the hallmarks of Russian propaganda, Russian information operation. Even more perverse is how they worked with these quote unquote anti disinformation, misdis, and malinformation NGOs to pressure the social media companies to censor people like you and me and news and opinion outlets that put forth dissenting views, to basically silence the other side and prop up the regime media outlets. We haven't even begun to calculate how much that has been worth to them, but it's damaged the republic potentially to an irrevocable degree. And it's amazing, I would say, that despite all that, still, we're basically a 50% plus one country.
It really, it is amazing when you consider everything that's been stacked against us, and they still got their butts kicked in an election. All right, Ben, I've been trying to warn people that obviously USAID is horrible, maybe the worst of the worst. It's really, 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 really bad. But they haven't even gotten to the Pentagon yet. So far, what we've seen is just the tip. There is so much more coming, and people are going to be mortified at what they find in that building.
You're absolutely right. And to that point, people don't need to look any further than the Inspector General, the SIGAR reports with regard to Afghanistan and the boondoggles there and what we ended up funding and how we ended up undermining the mission to the extent there was a mission with any clear objectives there. Put Afghanistan, which was a massive boondoggle and ultimately ended in disgrace, put it on steroids, and that tells you where we get to with the Pentagon, not to mention, of course, the intelligence community and beyond. We've already heard that $100 billion are just missing. We have no idea with respect to Ukraine. So imagine across the entirety, to your point, of the Pentagon and the intelligence community with the secrecy that's built into them definitionally, and then all the people who benefit from the misuse of these agencies, which are absolutely vital on their face to keep us safe, and which you served in. We can only imagine the corruption, the waste, fraud, and abuse, and how they've been used to undermine our interests and line the pockets of people here at home with our tax dollars. I'm sure the real fight's going to start there, and then, of course, with Medicare.
Oh, gosh. God only knows what we're going to find with Medicare. All right, Ben, before I let you go, Pam Bondi, I opened up the show. I don't know her. I've never met her. I only know her by reputation, but Does she have what it takes to get fangs and throw government people in prison? Not resignations and revoking security clearances. That's not near enough to stop the communist revolution from inside of our government. Do you think this woman has what it takes to send government people to prison?
I think Pam Bondi, along with Kash Patel, who himself, as he noted in his confirmation hearings, has been targeted by a weaponized and hyper-politicized national security and law enforcement apparatus. When you look at what they've put out in terms of the weaponization working group, so-called, that they've developed and what they're going to be probing, undoubtedly they are going to find myriad crimes there, including the very crime that Donald Trump himself was charged with, essentially taking away the rights of Americans under color of law. We've seen that on steroids to the hilt with all of these different weaponized prosecutors at the federal level and on down. So if they pursue the merits of the cases, and I believe they will, there have to be criminal charges. Anything else would further the injustice and further undermine our republic at the end of the day.
Yeah, no doubt. Ben, that was awesome, brother. Come back soon, please. Welcome anytime.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's hard for me to hear this stuff too. All right, I wake up every day. Look, it's a good time because we're exposing it, but it's hard to go to the doctor's office after you got your blood work done and find out you're very, very, very sick. Now, it's better that you know, we know, but it's hard to hear. Just keep your chin up. One day at a time, we'll keep cleaning this crap out, all right? In the meantime, get yourself some sleep. Dream powder will help you with that. Maybe you wake up every morning and you're looking at your phone and you're raging all day long. Tough to sleep. But dream powder? It's hot chocolate. Except it's got melatonin and natural things in it. 100% drug-free. I sip on a cup of hot chocolate whenever I must have a good night's sleep. And I just drift off to sleep. I wake up 8 hours later. I don't feel groggy. I don't feel heavy. I feel like I got natural sleep because I did. Sleep like that every single night. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly gets you up to 40% off. We'll be back. Okay, this is going to be a conversation I'm going to enjoy because Trump is rolling out tariffs. And as I told you before, Trump loves tariffs. He has an older might not even be appropriate, a different, more protectionist view of it, very much a Teddy Roosevelt Republican. Everyone thought he was just threatening Canada and Mexico, so they'd throw some Mexican troops on the border. And as I told you, yeah, it's part negotiating tactic, but he's bringing tariffs. He loves them. He always has. He believes in them. Joining me now to talk about them, the moves, the potential counter moves, and other things, the wonderful Carol Roth, who knows a lot about this stuff, author of the book You Will Own Nothing. In fact, she's wrote a lot of wonderful books at this point in time. Okay, Carol, as I've explained to people, Trump is a tariff lover. It's a very much an older Republican way of thinking, but this is what he loves. It's what he believes in. I don't care how many Canadians get put on the border. Tariffs were always coming for somebody.
I love the fact that they keep talking about, well, in the 1800s, we had all of these tariffs and it paid for everything. Okay, we're not in 1800 anymore, people. We're in 2025. Our economy looks nothing like it did in the 1800s. The currency looks nothing like it did in the 1800s. Our fiscal foundation looks nothing like it did in the 1800s. So, you know, while that's a nice, you know, thing to say, it's a completely irrelevant data point. And as I've mentioned to you prior, Jesse, you know, I'm sort of a centrist on tariffs. There are things that we absolutely need to be producing here in the United States. I know you will probably agree with me when I say, you know, our defense industry should not be outsourced to China. We cannot depend on them for our defense. And, you know, they're not going to be super excited to make things like weapons and components for us if we're potentially going to attack them. So there are things from a national security standpoint that it makes sense for us to reshore and use tariffs as a means to incentivize that. There are a whole bunch of things that it makes absolutely no sense to reshore, and we couldn't do it if we wanted it because the cost of those goods and services would be so high that nobody would buy them. And this idea that somehow we're going to eliminate the income tax and replace that with tariffs, like was done, you know, back in days yonder, is absolutely insane because from a math perspective, that is never going to work. So now we have or the situation where I do think that there is a little bit of art of the deal. You know, somebody said about Trump is that you should take him seriously, but never literally. So there is some scoring of some points and some bravado. But you're absolutely right. He likes tariffs and he sees that as an interesting, out of the box way of thinking. I do think there are other people in the administration that have other out of the box ways of thinking. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But this discussion is not going away for sure.
Carol, let's rewind just a little bit because we all want to get smarter, myself included. Lord knows I need enough help with that. What's different now? You said we're not at all the same as we were in the 1800s. I agree with you. Dumb that down so I can understand it. What does that mean?
So, you know, if you think about the currency that we have, you know, we have the global reserve currency, something that we didn't have prior. We have a currency that is fiat, that's not backed by anything other than the promises of the government. We have debt to GDP at 120%+. We're running deficits that are wartime level deficits between 6% and 7% of GDP. We have, because of our currency, we have dollar strength that needs to be considered vis-a-vis not, unfortunately, a bag of groceries, but strong against other currencies in the world. We have a global market that depends on the U.S. treasuries, not only to finance the government, but as a safe haven for the world. So we're in this very complicated scenario. We also have a service-based economy, right? So, you know, it used to be that the economy was based on manufacturing goods, and now 70% of that is based on services. So, and by the way, you have a government that takes in $5 trillion of our money every year, more than the GDP of every other country in the world, except for the US and China, and now is, you know, spending $7 trillion. So, you know, I think if you kind of line that up to what things look like in the 1800s, it's a little bit different.
Okay, so what does this mean for me and my wallet, Carol? I have two kids. I have a wife who likes purses. What does this mean for me? Am I going to get poorer in the short term, in the long term? What does this mean?
Well, I think it could mean a lot of things. I think if Trump wants to continue to do tariffs on everybody and their brother, there are a couple things that are going to happen. There is going to be a direct impact if you decide to buy a foreign good instead of a U.S.-based good. And, you know, maybe you can convince your wife that she should buy U.S. designers instead of something fancy from Europe. I don't know how that's going to go. I'm going to stay out of that situation. That's your problem, not mine, Jesse. But there's also, you know, the idea of what's going to happen with the strength of the dollar. Tariffs increase the dollar strength, which means that they're going to probably have to find a way to weaken the dollar if they want to do tariffs, which means, and we've talked about this before, that could create an inflationary scenario, which we know is coming anyway, because there are a whole million things that are going to create an inflationary scenario, and it's already on the rise again. So I do think, as all of these things get sorted out, one is that you should be considering buying U.S. Over, you know, what is being manufactured abroad. But the reality is that I think that life is going to continue to stay expensive. We're not going back to prices, you know, of what they were 5 years ago. That is a pipe dream. So the most important thing that you can do is you can ask for a raise, Jesse. So here I am asking your bosses, give Jesse a raise because he's going to need the extra money to help buy his wife purses and other, you know, kind of cost of living. So everybody needs to make sure their wages are keeping pace because that's the only fight that we really have against inflation. And also, as we've talked about before, you know, over time, and I'm sure they're going to come down at some point, but over time, you expect that hard assets, stocks, things like that are going to inflate as everything else inflates, as we have seen over the past, you know, decade or so.
Carol, what does China do in response to all this? Because China, obviously, he's coming for coming with tariffs for China. There is no ifs, ands, or buts around it. So China is reportedly building a fortress to prepare for these tariffs. What does that mean? It sounds great. What does it mean?
So one interesting thing, and this may completely divert our conversation, but you know that's fairly normal for me, is that China's been stockpiling gold. And it has been doing that for many, many reasons. One of them is to decrease the dependence on the U.S. dollar. Another is to create a way to settle their own trade if they're trading with other countries and somebody doesn't want to accept their currency, to offer credible settlement in terms of gold. So this could end up in a situation where there's a meeting of the minds here, and for all of these different points that are going on, there could be a discussion of, well, maybe we should, you know, write up and all agree that the price of gold is higher than it is because it's suppressed anyway. If that happens, and we're going to divert from China for a second, by the way, you know, right now the U.S. has gold on its balance sheet at just over $42 an ounce. And we know that it's trading at over $2,900 an ounce today. So if the U.S. and China agree, if they were to just write it up to the $2,900, that would then give them like something in the area of like 700 and something billion dollars that they would then be able to have in their treasury account to spend monetization of gold. But if they all agreed to write it up even higher, hey, now gold is, you know, $4,000 an ounce or $6,000 or whatever it is, not only will that help the U.S., help to weaken the dollar, do all the things that we had just been talking about, but also potentially be a boon for China and a way to kind of get around all of these other machinations that are going on. So I would imagine that there is going to be some table meeting with China, because the reality is we do depend on them still for quite a lot of things, but there is sort of this concern that we need to get around that. China has, you know, some issues, but it also has some strengths. So this is like a really big game of, I don't know if it's risk, I don't know if it's 4D chess, I don't know what the appropriate analogy is. But as I've been telling you for a while, you know, the global financial order is on the precipice. It is going to shift. And I think we're going to see that start to come to fruition sooner versus later. It could be this year, Jesse.
Carol, have I ever told you how dominant I am at risk? Just absolutely dominant. Undefeated? No. But when I sit down to play risk, I guess just Napoleon and me, our minds just work differently. I'm dominant at risk.
I feel like you should put that on your resume. That should actually be probably you know, and the top thing is that dominant at risk. Yeah,
I should. Carol, shifting gears a little bit, but just because it matters to people, interest rates. You know, people, they want cars and they don't want to pay these ridiculous interest rates. They want to own a home one day. What a shock. American citizen wants better interest rates. Are we ever going to get those?
Oh, Lord, not anytime soon, unless, as we've been talking about, there is this weird out-of-the-box thinking and resetting of rates. I have been telling you for years, and your viewers and listeners for years, that what the Fed is doing doesn't matter, that their tool set just doesn't apply to where we are. And I have been proven right, because, you know, when the Fed hiked interest rates initially, what happened to yields on the 10 years, and then ultimately everybody's interest rates has went up, right? But what happened when they started cutting interest rates? Yields went up again. And that's because they no longer have that control. It is being determined by the market, it is being determined by fiscal policy, and their own policy is completely off the table. So as I noted, right now, the yield on the 10-year is, you know, rising again. It's getting to levels that are potentially concerning, even amidst the fact that we had these rate cuts previously from the Fed. And those are, unfortunately, you know, what is going to drive a lot of the rates in the market, especially on the mortgage side. That is a relevant point, as well as demand for mortgage-backed securities. And we just don't have the demand in the market for all of the treasuries that we're issuing for the mortgages. So I feel like for the time being, rates are going to get higher. Now, what could happen is that there is a break point. There is a point which we're getting close to where rates will become too high, particularly on a 10-year as the benchmark, and that could send us into a debt spiral that could end up breaking the global financial markets if we get to that level. And again, we got real close to it. We've come back off a little bit, but like we're in that neighborhood. The Trump administration does not want that to happen. They cannot afford for that to happen for many, many reasons. And so that means, again, you may see some kind of an interventionist policy to try to bring down interest rates. And whether they go crazy and say, oh, we're going to bring them way down so we can refinance the debt and people can have better mortgage rates and all these kinds of things, or they do kind of an interim step is really anyone's guess. But it's not going to come from free market forces. It's going to become because they are forced by our fiscal situation to come in and do something, quote unquote, creative. And that's, again, why I'm in the camp of seeing persistent inflation, because they would rather have goods and services be a little bit higher than bust the entire financial system or cause a massive recession or whatever it is. And so those are going to be the choices at hand. And which one politically do we think they're going to pick? They're going to pick a little bit more inflation. It's just the unfortunate choice that they're going to have to make.
Yeah. God save us from central planners getting creative. Gosh, that would be a friggin' disaster. Carol Roth, thank you, ma'am. Come back soon. All right. Lighten the mood. Next. All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And you know what lightens my mood? The knowledge that the greatest book ever written, The Anti-Communist Manifesto by me, came out today in paperback. Did you know that? I know it was already out in hardcover and national bestseller, not that I would brag or anything like that. But today, you want the paperback version? You can get it. JesseKellyBook.com is where you go do that. Now, I love a good troll as much as anybody, especially when it comes to trolling CNN. Elon Musk, the richest, one of the most powerful men in the world, decided to change his name on social media in an effort to get reporters to have to say it on air, and well, mission accomplished.
Now, the disruptor in chief, Elon Musk, who apparently has adopted the alias, at least he changed his social media handle to Harry Balls, tweeted this morning, democracy in America is being destroyed by judicial coup.
All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.